25th of April. My dear Sabina, I said goodbye to my churches in London, though I didn't want to leave. It was difficult saying farewell to my parishioners, but most of all to Bishop Bell, who has become a very dear friend. My only comfort is that I know we will see each other again in our ongoing work with the ecumenical movement. I realize now that I had to leave. My reasons for staying would have been merely for the security of it. Very middle class, I know. But the crisis with the church in Germany is at the center of my heart. And there could be no joy, even in security, while I remained watching from the sides. My time in the wilderness needed to end. Besides, I miss teaching very much. So, I am writing to you from the home of the seminary here in Finkenwalde. It is located in what was once a private school that the Nazis had closed down. It needs renovation, furniture, basic plumbing. We are funded strictly by donations from those who believe in what we're trying to accomplish. Many are generous, and we receive cash gifts, books, furniture, even crates of fruit and vegetables. The students, though only a handful and not much younger than I am, are enthusiastic. But they already think I'm rather eccentric.
What precisely do you mean, Reverend?
Devotions. Is that so strange to you? First thing in the morning, I want you all to meditate on a passage of scripture and then pray for an hour.
To what end? Do you want us to analyze the experience for a paper?
No, Kurt. I want you to meditate on the scripture and prayer. Have none of you heard of the spiritual disciplines? I think the problem, Sabina, is that too much seminary training has robbed these students of the ability to look at their Christianity as a heartfelt experience.
When you ask if we love Jesus, do you mean in the sense that we have committed obedience to him? Or are you referring to something else?
I mean simply, do you love him? Why is this so difficult? I'm sympathetic, since for years I looked at my faith with the same cool, distant academic detachment that mere mind learning requires. My goal is to introduce the students to a full experience of the spiritual life. Do you hear the power and the passion of the music? I find it haunting, full of the mystery of both joy and suffering. Do you hear it? No, listen with your hearts, listen. I'm trying very hard to create a sense of community among the students. But not everyone agrees with this rather new approach to seminary life. Some of those who give money to the seminary think that it's
too much like a monastery. I hope that in the midst of all these spiritual disciplines, your students are also learning something. I don't mind giving my money to this seminary as long as the students learn.
They are learning, Frau von Kleist-Retzow. I can assure you that I am teaching them theology just as I was taught in seminary. We are merely working hard on personal spiritual growth as well, attempting to capture a sense of community.
I'm only saying that you must be careful. You are known. You are a celebrated teacher and author. I've spoken with many who've read your book, the one you finished at my house.
The Cost of Discipleship.
Perhaps that is why the Nazis leave you alone. But be cautious with what you do here. Don't give them the excuse to pay you a visit.
Danke schön, Frau von Kleist-Retzow. Well, my dear sister, the students have persuaded me to take them on a field trip to Sweden, to visit the ecumenical leaders there and discuss the German church. It will be a welcome change for all of us. I look forward to taking a breath of fresh international air after all the close, stifling infighting within our own church. My love to your husband and sweet children. Dietrich. Now, let's again consider the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. As we discussed during our trip to Stockholm, these passages have come to mean a lot to me personally because in them I see the essence of Christianity. pause to imagine that Jesus is not merely giving guidelines here or idealist poetry, but that he's placing before us very real commands.
Brother Bonhoeffer, come quickly.
What's wrong, Friedrich?
The Gestapo in your room.
Gestapo? How odd. All right, calm down. The rest of you should read the entire text of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and the parallel passages in Luke. I'll return shortly.
Heil Hitler, Reverend Bonhoeffer.
Bishop Haeckel, good afternoon.
Cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. That's an interesting start to a book. I have seen it, of course, but have not read it. Perhaps I will.
Are you a member of the Gestapo now?
No, but the Gestapo is here with me. They are searching the rooms of your seminary. Proper paperwork in hand, of course.
May I ask why my seminary is being invaded by you and the Gestapo?
Because your seminary is in violation of Himmler's fifth decree, implemented by the German church chancellery.
Please, remind me what the fifth decree is.
It is your undoing, Reverend. The state has finally come to realize what those of us in the German church have always known, that you are a heretic and a traitor. You and all of your confessing church friends. The fifth decree declares that only the German church can sanction churches, seminaries, or other ecclesiastical bodies. Those not sanctioned by the German church are outlawed. You are outlawed, Herr Bonhoeffer. As a penalty for your persistent insubordination, you are no longer permitted to teach, preach, or lecture in any public forum.
How can that be? I'm still a professor at Berlin University.
You were. Your participation in this unlawful seminary is in violation of your agreement as a professor at the university. Further, you are no longer allowed to visit or work in Berlin except to see your parents.
Are you arresting me?
I would if it were in my power to do so, but it isn't. If you stay on your present course, I have no doubt that will come later.
This is outrageous. I'm being treated like some sort of traitor without benefit of trial or appeal. I'm not a traitor. My argument is with the German church and not the German government.
The German church and the German government are one, Bonhoeffer. Don't you understand? By law, if you resist one, you resist the other. And I have seen firsthand your resistance. Or have you forgotten London? That trip to Sweden with your students was also a big mistake. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, if I may use the expression.
Sweden. It was an innocent trip.
It was indiscreet for you to meet so many high-profile people there, against the permission of the Reichskirche and in opposition to the government.
What will happen now?
You have until tomorrow to say goodbye to your students. But you can be sure that the Gestapo will return to make sure you have left.
From this moment on, our seminary is illegal. And I don't have to go into details to explain what that means. I've also learned that the Gestapo performed a strategic series of arrests, dragging over 25 of our confessing church pastors from their pulpits, including some of our former students. You already know that Martin Niemöller was arrested at his home, unless a miraculous form of intervention takes place. I fear this is only the beginning of our troubles. So, you are all free to go. However, if even one of you chooses to stay, then I will stay as well. Not here exactly, but there are ways to keep this seminary going in other places. Those who are leaving may leave.
Reverend Bonhoeffer, we discussed the matter while you were in with the Gestapo. We are all staying.
Yeah. I'll be completely candid with you. There are perils and dangers yet to come. Some we cannot imagine possible in a civilized nation. We may be arrested, sent to concentration camps, tortured, perhaps put to death. The Nazis are capable of anything except compromise. They leave that to the church. Are you certain you want to stay?
Yes, Reverend. Yes. We will stay.
Then, we have a lot of work to do.